Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano in studio in the fine city of Kansas City is the awesome, the spectacular Ray Pritchard.
Well, those adjectives notwithstanding, here I am, Ed. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's been a busy morning already. You've been in our story meetings, and everyone's talking about Brett Kavanaugh. I always want to say Matt Kavanaugh, because he's a former quarterback, but I'll have to make sure, you know, from make now sure until the confirmation right process yeah. is complete, that I say Brett Kavanaugh. We're going to get more of that story in just a moment. Ray Pritchard, by the way, president of Keep Believing Ministries. We'll give him an opportunity later in the program to let you all who are listening know a little bit about Keep Believing Ministries. Fred Jackson is also in studio.
Good morning, Fred. Again. Yeah, it's busy news day. A lot going on.
It actually is. And since we're going to be talking about legal issues, we brought our legal eagle in, Abe Hamilton. Abraham Hamilton III. Abe, I got to say, you are not only wearing more than one hat, you know, it's not just two hats around here. You're wearing three or four hats. Every time I pass you in the hallway or something, you're going to doing something else, an interview. I mean, just doing all kinds of things. But we do appreciate you taking some time to slip into the studio here and give us your expertise on this. So good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, Fred. Brett Kavanaugh.
Yes.
Who in the world is that?
Who in the world is that? Well, for people who are legal beavers and been tracking, this time yesterday, we talked about four potential finalists the president had in mind for his nominee to the United States Supreme Court to replace Justice Kennedy. And we kind of battled. I kind of forget which one I chose, you know, and I said it would probably be wrong. And I was. Yeah. I was wrong. But last night, around 8 o'clock Central, big to-do at the White House, the president brought out Judge Brett Kavanaugh. He has been sitting on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit for the last 12 years. He's participated in some 300 opinions. It was a very nice setting as he brought out his family. We found out that Brett Kavanaugh had worked at the White House during the Bush years and met his future wife there, who is from Texas, and they have two lovely daughters. And in fact, the oldest daughter, I think, is basketball. She's a basketball star.
Wow.
And he's her coach. And he said the team of girls calls him Coach K.
Coach K.
So we learned a lot from him last night in this. And we found out that he, among other things, teaches law at Harvard right now, along with sitting on that appeals court. And guess who hired him at Harvard Law School?
Elena Kagan.
I didn't know that.
When she was dean of the law school. So very interesting. So he goes back to the Bush years. And so has one press release was describing him this morning. He is well known within the Republican establishment, but with having been involved with 300 decisions over the last 12 years, the Democrats and others who may have concerns about him have a lot of material to go through. And I'll tell you what, it started already this morning. Judge Kavanaugh is up on Capitol Hill already.
Right.
Starting his meetings with senators. Now, he's going to meet probably with what we would call friendly senators today. Mitch McConnell and people like that, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. He'll have a sit-down with him. But I don't think the environment will be the same when he sits down with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senate Minority Whip Dick Durbin. I mean, the knives were already out. No matter who the president nominated, the Democrats were going to be all out against him. In fact, there were some press releases that went out last night. Protest against XX.
They sent it out by mistake.
By mistake, right. They sent that out. But we knew this. This was going to happen. And there were some very severe demonstrations last night against Kavanaugh, so much so that Shannon Bream, one of the Fox News hosts, kind of feared for her safety because it got kind of rough against the Trump nominee.
They were going to broadcast live from there for an hour.
Uh-huh.
And I watched her show last night, and she said, we just didn't feel safe.
No. Let me play you a little excerpt from some of those protests last night so that you can get an idea of just how rough it was. Cut number six.
I don't know his platform, but I know that, well, Mitch McConnell stole the seat, and I'm really upset about that.
I think generally I'm a little anxious and terrified about the notion that things that I took for granted, to be honest, are now at risk.
So anyway, we won't continue. That was kind of the air last night. The Democrats went ballistic. Bernie Sanders gave a speech. I thought his head was going to spin right off last night. So this is day one of what you are going to see. Very, very severe opposition going back and forth. I was saying just before we went on the air, John McCain seems very pleased with the nomination of Kavanaugh. And that was one of the ones, maybe Senator McCain, we're not sure he'll be able to make it back even for a vote, but he gave his voice of approval early this morning.
All right. Well, we want to bring Abe in here on this now because, by and large, most of the conservative pro-life groups are supportive of this pick, Abe. AFA has, first of all, we came out publicly in support of Amy Coney Barrett as being the best and clearest choice for President Trump. But AFA has concerns about Brett Kavanaugh. Now, we are... not in the majority on this. I want to make that clear. But we do have some concerns, and I ask you to come on the show to highlight for our listeners why we are not 100% sold on Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, one thing, as Fred alluded to, he comes from the Bush family's connections, and when he was appointed to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals in 2006, Court of Appeal in 2006, he was questioned by Chuck Schumer about Roe versus Wade. And
we have that. We have that clip. Fred. We have that clip.
Okay.
All right. That's cut number five, Brent.
Roe v. Wade, if confirmed to the D.C. Circuit, I would follow Roe v. Wade faithfully and fully. That would be binding precedent in the court. If I were confirmed to the D.C. Circuit, Senator, I would follow it. It's been reaffirmed many times.
All right, he was responding to a question from Chuck Schumer. This is 12 years ago,
right?
When he appeared before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Chuck Schumer asked him, would he vote to overturn Roe v. Wade? And you heard Kavanaugh say no, he wouldn't.
And we do apologize a little bit for the quality of that video. We're scrambling to get material on Brett Kavanaugh, so we can't got the best audio we could for that. We'll probably have an improved version of that at some other point. But that is a concern right there.
It provides a question. And that's the thing. Does he still maintain that belief? Was the basis of his answer in that particular exchange because he was nominated for an appellate court bench where the context really is he would be bound to follow Supreme Court precedent? However, there have been other nominees who have addressed that question in different ways. For example, when Amy Barrett, who was just recently confirmed to the Seventh Circuit, was asked about it, she said, well, I wouldn't have an opportunity to overturn Roe v. Wade. It did not provide such the same sort of ringing endorsement of it as, quote, binding precedent. It
reaffirmed many times,
which has been reaffirmed many times. Now, that is a factually accurate statement. It has been reaffirmed many times, but is it binding? I mean, it just creates a question where other nominees may not have had a similar question in terms of in their past. Another issue that provides a little bit of question again. And I want to be clear in this. What I'm presenting is not to say that Brett Kavanaugh is Satan incarnate. That is not what I'm saying. What I am saying is these things create questions where we didn't have to have a nominee who had these types of questions. So another one is in the issue of Obamacare in the case called Seven Keys, which was the precursor for the Obamacare case being heard at the Supreme Court. Brett Kavanaugh is the jurist who introduced the line of reasoning that prior to that moment had not been introduced publicly, something that the Obama administration had argued in the opposite against, whereas Brett Kavanaugh concluded that the tax penalty proposed for those who didn't purchase health insurance, not a tax penalty, the fine, I should say, the fine that was assessed to those Americans who did not purchase health insurance, Brett Kavanaugh was the first one to introduce as a legal argument that it was a tax. And as a result, laid the foundation for what ultimately became Chief Justice John Roberts' opinion upholding Obamacare, recognizing it as a tax. Well, one thing that's problematic for me as a constitutionalist is that if there is a proposed tax that comes from Congress, that legislation must, by constitutional declaration, originate in the House of Representatives. Well, we all know that Obamacare started in the United States Senate.
Right.
So if it is, in fact, a tax, my question to Judge Kavanaugh would be, well, if you have declared it to be a tax, and why then were you willing to ignore the fact that it did not start in the House of Representatives if it is, in fact, a tax? And so it just, again, creates another question. Doesn't make the conclusion that we know for a fact that Brett Kavanaugh will be a bad justice or anything like that, but it creates a question, at least in my mind.
Well, go ahead and lay out, because we want to get Ray Pritchard in here, and we also have Frank Turek waiting to get in. Lay out the concern we have with Brett Kavanaugh on the issue of religious liberty.
Yeah, so in a case concerning whether or not an organization could be compelled to offer contraceptive service, Brett Kavanaugh made a ruling in a preliminary stage of the case that the state governments had a compelling interest in regulating the administration of contraceptive coverage. Now, to be fair, Brett Kavanaugh concluded in the proper manner in that particular case. But I'm sorry, that was on the Garza case. This isn't the Priest for Life case. I'm sorry. He made the argument at an early stage in the litigation that it could be acceptable for state governments to have a compelling interest in forcing people to offer contraceptive coverage, even if it violated their religious liberty. Now, does that mean he would do that on the Supreme Court? I don't know necessarily. But again, it creates a question in my mind.
Okay.
On that issue.
Well, Ray, let's get you in here. Here's the thing. When I spoke with Tim Wildman, the president of AFA, on this, he said, listen, we don't need another, trust me, Supreme Court nominee, because we have seen in the past the pro-life community has been disappointed by Sandra Day O'Connor, by Justice, who became Supreme Court Justice, Souter, Anthony Kennedy, that we get these nominees and Republican presidents say, trust me, this is a pro-life person. And then when they get on the bench, because we didn't have the certainty that we needed beforehand, they wind up being someone who is either pro-abortion, who stands for the upholding of Roe versus Wade, and that becomes it becomes a disappointment. And Ray, this is the kind of thing we wanted to avoid in this hugely important opportunity that the president had.
You know, these concerns that Abe has raised, number one, they're very, very important, because Anthony Kennedy has been the swing vote in so many crucial cases. And the very points he's raising, they're going to be, I mean, clearly, there's going to be a battle royale up on Capitol Hill in the hearings. All this is going to be they're going to go, particularly the abortion side of things, they're going to go meticulously through that, and the Democrats are going to try to trash him. Abe, I want to ask a question just on general judicial philosophy. Do you regard Brett Kavanaugh as the same as Anthony Kennedy overall, or would you say that his philosophy is a bit more conservative than Justice Kennedy?
That's a good question. If I had to peg it based on what I see so far, I could see Brett Kavanaugh being somewhat in the mold of John Roberts, potentially. But again, it's difficult to articulate it down to the nail, because most of his articulation of his judicial philosophy has been as an appellate court judge. As opposed to Amy Barrett, most of her articulation of her philosophy concerning the court system has been as a professor outside of the judiciary, which gives you more of an idea of her personal philosophy as opposed to the articulation of a judicial philosophy having the overarching or the looming reality of Supreme Court precedent being a binding feature in your rulings as a judge.
All right, we're going to bring Frank Turek on board to to clear the air and make this crystal clear as to how Christians should approach Brett Kavanaugh. Just to reset, he is the new nominee from President Trump for the Supreme Court to replace Justice Anthony Kennedy, who is retiring. Frank Turkus from crossexamine.org. Frank, good morning to you.
Gentlemen, he wasn't appointed by Hillary Clinton. That's all I'm saying.
Good point.
So that is a good
point.
That's
the bottom line. I mean, he's one of the 25 on the Federalist Society, but it's absolutely right what Abraham said. We don't really know how this guy's going to rule when he gets up there. But that's true of everybody, right? I mean, it's true of everybody. You'd never really know. The only way you know how they're going to rule is if they're liberals, because then they will rule. As a judicial activist, this guy says all the right things. Most of his opinions have been good. I agree with Abraham that we don't know what he meant when he talked to Schumer, because if he's an appellate court judge, he is going to have to say, well, yeah, it's precedent. I've got to abide by it. Only the Supreme Court can overturn that. So that might be what he meant there. But can we just draw a clear distinction between the left and the right on this? And that's this. The left wants to impose its will through the court, whereas the right wants to let the people decide. That's basically the bottom line. When you've got people out there who are trying to say, you can't overturn Roe v. Wade, you can't overturn it. Well, wait a minute. Why can't you overturn it? Because even if you do overturn it, it's bad law. Even leftists agree it's bad law, that it wasn't decided properly. Even if you do overturn it, that isn't going to necessarily make abortion illegal. It depends on how the Supreme Court rules, and I'd love to hear Abraham's insight on this. If they just rule that it was decided improperly and the states have the right to regulate abortion, probably a vast majority of the states are going to keep abortion. The only way it would outlaw abortion nationwide is if somehow the court said the 14th Amendment somehow gives unborn children the right to life and the right to due process. I don't know if they would rule that way, because I don't know if when the 14th Amendment was passed, people thought that individuals in the womb were persons. According to Justice Scalia, the answer is no. They didn't consider them persons. But I'd love to hear what Abraham has to say about that.
No, you raise a good point. I actually played some audio on my show yesterday from Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who argued that Roe was decided wrongly,
right.
Saying that this is an issue that should have been decided by the states. And I do agree in that should Roe be tackled by the Supreme Court and it is overturned, I highly doubt that they would go as far as to declare in utero human beings as human beings recognizable by the 14th Amendment. I think it would immediately go back to the state. So anybody who is arguing that Roe overturning would automatically result in abortion being illegalized, I think they're operating in a bit of hyperbole.
Yeah, Abraham, do you think then that Scalia was right that the 14th Amendment, when it was enacted, was really designed to deal with the slavery issue? It wasn't designed to try and get people to realize that unborn life would be considered personhood.
I do think that would be the idea in the minds of many of, not many, in the articulation of the 14th Amendment, but I think a cogent argument could be made to apply that understanding to in utero persons.
In fact, let me be absolutely clear. I think, obviously, that life does begin at conception. Sure, the right. Question that we're discussing now is, does the Constitution say that? Mm-hmm. That's the issue.
Right.
Well, the pro-life issue is going to be huge. I mean, Judge Kavanaugh is going to be pounded by the Democrats on this over and over and over again. And many pro-life groups, this is key to them. In fact, just reading a press release here from the Susan B. Anthony List, one of the leading pro-life groups, they are starting, I think, as early this week, they're going to hold press events tomorrow in three states where Democrat senators are facing re-election, where Trump did extremely well in the 2016 election. So you're going to have the Democrats making the pro-life issue the issue with Kavanaugh, but you're also going to have these pro-life groups going out into these Democrat-held ridings right now, these districts, and they're going to try to force the Democrats into a corner on this. Are you going to vote against Kavanaugh because of his pro-life beliefs? So the pro-life issue is going to be this issue over the next 2 or 3 months from both sides.
Yeah, I think you're right. And just briefly getting back to Frank's question as to whether or not the Constitution recognizes in utero persons as persons to be protected by the law, I think when you factor in the Declaration of Independence and the preamble to the Constitution, which unfortunately has been severed from our reasoning when the articulation was made that we seek to form a more perfect union for ourselves and to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. I think when you consider that, you could make a sound argument that posterity clearly invokes the understanding that in utero persons should be protected by that document.
Hmm. So what is Judge Kavanaugh's religious background? Does anybody know?
He's Catholic.
That became very clear last night in the introduction and from his speech. He was an altar boy.
He was an altar boy.
Yeah, altar boy for many years. I think his priest was there at the gathering last night at the White House. He is a very dedicated Roman Catholic. He works with his priest serving the homeless. He does that kind of outreach. So it was made very clear by both the president last night and by Judge Kavanaugh. He's a very dedicated Roman Catholic.
Well, and Frank, go ahead, Frank.
I was just going to say that really when people start talking about policy issues like abortion with the Supreme Court, it just goes to show you how politicized this has all become, because really the court doesn't decide policy issues. The court just applies what's in the Constitution to particular cases. And the very fact that we have to discuss abortion and Roe v. Wade and all these things when a nomination comes up shows you how far off the court has gotten from its constitutional mandate. Mm-hmm. The court ought not be deciding these issues. The people decide these issues. And the conservatives are saying, let's conserve what we know is true, and that is our founding document is the United States Constitution. If we want to change that, if we want to say the Constitution gives people the right to an abortion, then we have to go through the amendment process to do that. Mm-hmm. We don't find rights in the Constitution that aren't there, like Justice Kennedy, unfortunately, has done, not only with regard to abortion, but also with regard to same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. So if this guy's going to follow in the footsteps of Justice Kennedy, that's a disaster. If he's going to do what he said he was going to do last night, that he's just going to apply the law properly and not going to make law, then he's going to be a great justice.
Hey, Frank, thank you for your comments. We're going to let you go. Crossexamine.org. Tell our listeners what they can find at your website.
Oh, they're going to find a whole bunch of great information, including these short Q&A videos we have on college campuses that are very helpful. We've got a new course coming out in September called Fearless Faith, which will prepare kids for college and high school. There's a lot up there, so go to crossexamine.org. That's crossexamine with a D on the end of it, .org, and we'll see you there.
I'll be
here on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern as well.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. God bless. See
you. All right, hey, before we let you go, because we're coming up to the bottom of the hour here, and you'll be free and clear to go do what you the 15 things you've got to do today. let me just ask you this, because I think it's pretty clear that Brett Kavanaugh, again, resetting. This is the latest nominee, the new nominee for President Trump for the Supreme Court for the vacancy that has been created by the retirement of Anthony Kennedy, that Kavanaugh is, in all likelihood, a strict constructionist. So what happens to somebody who does not believe that the Constitution gives a right to an abortion, but someone who honors precedent, and the precedent now is Roe versus Wade, if he's on the Supreme Court?
Yeah, I think you have to go through the process of constitutional analysis, and you have to begin with the notion as to whether or not you believe Roe was rightly decided. I mean, we've seen that happen time and time again, Plessy versus Ferguson, Dred Scott, on the opposite direction. We've seen it happen with Bowers v. Hardwick, transposed by Lawrence versus Texas.
Right.
So the constitutional analysis has to be conducted, and you have to start at the foundation and work your way out from there instead of beginning with your stare decisis prerogatives and reading into the Constitution backwards.
So you don't have to blindly follow precedent if it was not constitutionally reasoned to begin with.
No.
All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. We will return with Sandy Rios.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
If you have objectives without setting up for yourselves intermittent times to check in with your progress of fulfilling those objectives, it's not a goal, it's a wish.
We'll also hear news headlines and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
You know, people often ask me, Tim, what's your favorite part of the Holy Land Tour? I've been leading Holy Land Tours for many years now. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, I learned how to lead these Israel tours from my dad, who started doing them in the 60s. And then he taught me in the 80s and 90s. And now my wife Allison and I lead these tours annually to Israel. And we love going because we love seeing people's eyes when they see things, such as the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River and the Garden Tomb and the Wailing Wall. See all these things for the first time and maybe the last time in many folks' lives, because this is a bucket list trip. We're going to be going in March. If you want a brochure sent to your mailbox, give us a call at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. And we'll send you a brochure. If you want to go to the website, everything's there, twholyland.com, twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Stearns from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. President Bush, MSNBC's Morning Joe, and Never Trumpers seem to be pleased with Judge Brett Kavanaugh, President Trump's pick for the Supreme Court. So are many evangelicals. But to be fair, a good many are not. The American Family Association is deeply troubled by his opinions on religious liberty and pro-life issues, legitimate concerns that hopefully will be addressed in the confirmation hearings. Time will tell. But I do have a question about the diversity of the Supreme Court. Should Judge Kavanaugh be confirmed, there would be 5 Catholics, 3 Jews, and Justice Gorsuch, a Roman Catholic turned Episcopalian, all educated at either Harvard or Yale, not a Baptist or a Pentecostal in the bunch. Now, I'm not criticizing the president, but I have to imagine there must be at least one person qualified to serve on the high court who graduated from a community college and sang the B-I-B-L-E at Vacation Bible School. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano in studio with Fred Jackson. We also have Ray Pritchard on the line. Ray, Keep Believing Ministries is the ministry for which you are the president. Tell our listeners a little bit about Keep Believing.
We started on the internet 12 years ago. You can find us at keepbelieving.com. If you're looking for help in putting together Bible studies, messages, sermons, or you got questions about what the Bible says about this or that or some other topic, I think if you come to Keep Believing, you'll probably find a message, an outline, a Q&A, a video, an audio that will help you answer your questions. We want to help people understand God's word. We want to help people keep believing in Jesus. And there's a lot of opposition, a lot of people who are struggling today, and we want to encourage people around the world. So surf on over to keepbelieving.com and check us out.
Well, we want to, we're having a little technical difficulty here in getting Sandy Rios on. We will continue our discussion about the Brett Kavanaugh nomination to the Supreme Court in just a moment. But Fred, update us a little bit on the situation in Thailand involving the soccer team and the coach that was lost for almost 2 weeks. We want to make sure we've covered that some this week. We want to make sure we get an update.
All good news.
Good.
The headline this morning, all 12 boys, their coach, rescued from the Thai cave. And so that is a real blessing. I've been looking at some of the pictures and the diagrams that have been shown, just how far back they were in this cave. And these kids have been in, was it over 2 weeks?
Yes.
Some of these kids in there. I mean, I'm not claustrophobic, But I can't imagine sitting in that cold, damp hole in the ground that long.
At 2 miles or 2.5 miles in.
2.5 miles in. And watching some of the rescuers, they had some video coming out because along the way out, they had to go underwater. That's why they're wearing these tanks. And these kids, they're cold and they're hungry and they have to go 2 miles to get out. And my feelings there as I was watching some of the video coming out of there in the last few days of moms, you imagine they came out like 3 and 4 at a time, these kids. And I can just imagine these parents waiting. Is mine amongst that next group?
Yeah.
But great relief there today. All 12 of these boys are out of there. I think a few of the rescuers, the Navy SEALs, were still back in there. But we'll try to get an update for you before to the end of the program to make sure they're out as well. But all the boys are out.
Now, these by the way, these were Navy SEALs from Thailand, right?
Yes, okay. That's correct.
So, you know, tip of the hat to those, I guess they were all men, maybe some women. I don't know if they have female SEALs over there. But to go into that kind of a situation, some of the areas they had to swim through, you couldn't even get through with your scuba gear. They had to take their tanks off, I guess, and pass it underneath and then get underneath and then re-hook up. So to go through all that to save the lives of these kids, of course, I'm sure they consider it worth it. But a lot of heroic activity there in Thailand and some relieved
There'll
parents.
Be a movie.
Yeah, there will be a movie.
There'll be a movie.
2 weeks.
Well, we throw the word miracle around loosely, but the very fact that they were found in the first place, right? They were lost and presumed dead. Mm-hmm. And they were found 2 miles back, you know, in everything, Fred, you said. I mean, horrifically, I mean, a terrifying place for those young kids, many of whom did not swim or were very poor swimmers, had been sitting there on that ledge, that they were found alive after 9 or 10 days. They were weak, but they were in relatively good condition. And then to think that these Thai Navy SEALs and the others who helped them were able to get back there and to get them out and not lose a single one. That's a miracle. That's an answer to prayer. We're thanking God. In a world with so much bad news, it's great to have a good news story like this.
It sure is. And it captivated the world, too. It was a world story.
Yeah,
everybody wanted to know, and those pictures coming out of there, the pictures of the kids sitting on that ledge inside there. Well, you know, one of the things at one point back 3 or 4 days ago, the oxygen level was getting very low in there. So the urgency to get these kids out was just being amplified over and over again as time went on. But praise the Lord for the headline this morning.
Well, and it was in terms of the worldwide the population being locked into this. It's similar to the Chilean miners. You remember that?
Yes.
I forget how long ago that was, but when they were, you know, trapped underground and there was a rescue operation going on, I don't think that all, did they get them all safely out or were there a couple
can't
of tragedies?
Remember.
I can't remember. But anyway, the world was fixated on that kind of rescue operation.
Well, Ed, we ought to remember the one Thai Navy SEAL, highly trained, who died just a few days ago because he ran out of oxygen. He was in there trying to replace the oxygen canisters and literally ran out of oxygen himself and did not survive. And those guys are extremely well trained, showing how incredibly dangerous that situation was and just making more remarkable the fact that all the boys and the coach, they got out alive.
Amen.
And I know I would be praying for my kids trapped in there and would consider it the mercy of God.
Yeah.
We don't try to get into the theological, implications of, well, how come he saved them, this one, but not that one. But when you do have a rescue like this, your heart is grateful. And we are all grateful for these young men that we'll probably never meet again, at least on this side of glory. So.
You know, the world is a very divided place, but it takes stories like this to bring everyone together.
Yeah.
You didn't hear anybody saying, I don't care.
Right.
You didn't hear anybody saying, well, they deserve it.
Right.
The whole world was captivated by this and hoping and praying in some way that they would get out.
Right. All right. Well, we are still having trouble getting Sandy Rios back. We want to talk to her. I listened to her program this morning, and she had a representative on from First Liberty talking about the Brett Kavanaugh nomination. So if we get her back on the program, we will continue the conversation about that. Let me just kind of sum up, guys, and get your take on the discussion we had in the first segment with Abraham Hamilton III and Frank Turek. I do want to let folks know that we are American Family Association. We have concerns with Brett Kavanaugh. We're getting some disagreement. We understand that there are people who love this selection, and some like Matt Staver, who does not think this is a good pick because of the things that Abe was talking about, and that is questions that we have about where Brett Kavanaugh will come down on issues that are important to us, and the fact that we've been burned on the Supreme Court three times since Ronald Reagan. That's with Sandra Day O'Connor, David Souter, and with Anthony Kennedy, where we were told, trust me, this is a pick that will be pro-life. That's the one that the one topic that we always seem to get burned on. Then when they get on the court, those questions that everyone had were found to be valid. So we are, you know, listen, I think I can speak for AFA and say we are open to people explaining to us where we don't need to be concerned. But the pro-life issue is so important to AFA, we don't want to take any risks. And that is why we had supported Amy Coney Barrett, because as Abe rightly pointed out, her writings made clear where she stood. So, Ray, let me just throw it to you and then Fred, and then we'll move on to other subjects. Unless we can get Sandy on, this is one of those areas where you can't be sure. So do you kind of gamble or what do you do? I mean, this has not been easy for us here at AFA, and so it's not easy for a lot of our listeners. And
well, there are two things to say that come to mind quickly. Number one. On the plus side, he's got all the right enemies, right?
Yes, that's true.
The usual suspects are lining up on the other side. And when those people hate him as much as they do, you know, we regard that as that's a plus sign. Now,
that's
we
right.
know it's good to have the right enemies. And the other thing is, he is going to have ample opportunity to clear these matters up.
Yes.
Because he's going to be, I mean, these are going to be contentious hearings. And I think our hope for Brett, first of all, we're hoping that if he's confirmed, which is, it's not a certainty, but if he is, we're certainly hoping that our fears are going to go away and he's going to prove to be a great justice in the mold of Antonin Scalia, right?
Right.
So we'd love to see that happen. I think all we're saying is on these crucial issues, we're reserving judgment. And we're looking for more clarity, but he's going to have plenty of chances to speak to this. And I hope that by the time the vote comes along, we're able to say our doubts and our, as much as can be.
Right.
As much as can be, we feel satisfied. All we're doing is asking questions at this point.
I think I would go back and quote what Frank Turek said right off the top when he joined us this morning is, this guy is going to be a whole lot better than anything Hillary Clinton nominates.
That's right.
let's be very clear about that. There would be great weeping and wailing in the conservative community this morning if Hillary Clinton was in the White House.
Right.
And you can only imagine the kind of person that she would put on that bench.
Right.
Would nominate. And, of course, the world out there and all the lefties would be celebrating that. The fact that the protests are huge, are strong, are vicious, to some extent, speaks to the at least that President Trump, Gorsuch was a good pick,
right?
And some have compared Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. As we've been talking about this morning, we're going to have to wait and see. I thought it would be good to play one clip from Kavanaugh's speech last night.
Okay,
he gave a little speech right at the end, and just so you hear his voice for yourself. Cut number two.
My judicial philosophy is straightforward. A judge must be independent and must interpret the law, not make the law. A judge must interpret statutes as written, and a judge must interpret the Constitution as written. I will tell each senator that I revere the Constitution. I believe that an independent judiciary is the crown jewel of our constitutional republic. If confirmed by the Senate, I will keep an open mind in every case, and I will always strive to preserve the Constitution of the United States and the American rule of law.
We're going to hold on to that clip.
Right.
Because in making those statements last night, he is going to hold himself accountable to what he said to the American people last night. And on that basis, if he does what he says he's going to do and what he says he believes in, then I think we can take some comfort in that.
All right. And just so some of our listeners who are just tuning in, I do want to go back. We played a clip in the first segment. This is going to come from Brett Kavanaugh when he was before the Senate for his confirmation. He's being questioned by Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. And so you're going to hear the voice of Brett Kavanaugh. And this is part of what forms our concern.
Yes.
About the future going forward. We'll make a couple of comments about that, and then we'll move on to another topic.
On the question of Roe v. Wade, if confirmed to the D.C. Circuit, I would follow Roe v. Wade faithfully and fully. That would be binding precedent in the court. If I were confirmed to the D.C. Circuit, Senator, I would follow it. It's been reaffirmed many times.
Okay. Now, that again, I apologize for the quality of that clip. As I mentioned, the first segment, we are scrambling to find audio of Brett Kavanaugh, and so that was the best we could find in terms of the quality. But now he was making clear that he believed that Roe versus Wade. Now that is the 1973 Supreme Court ruling that legalized, but it struck down every law banning abortion and legalized abortion across the country. He believed that that was established precedent, that it was binding, that he would follow it and faithfully uphold it. Now, the question is whether or not Brett Kavanaugh believes that and would believe that as a Supreme Court justice, or whether he was simply saying as a lower appellate court, this in this case on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, that he would just, because a lower court judge cannot overturn a Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah.
So you have to follow the Supreme Court. Was he saying that he would follow Roe versus Wade as established precedent as a lower court judge, or if that is part of his judicial philosophy? And from AFA's perspective, we do not know the answer to that. And we cannot support a candidate who might uphold Roe versus Wade. Mm-hmm. Now, that's controversial, and we're hearing from some of our viewers on Facebook Live, and we understand their concerns, but the pro-life issue is just too important to AFA to gamble with.
You know what, Ed? I think the left is going to do our work for us. They aren't going to let him get away with that kind of answer.
You're right.
You know, they're not going to let him slide on that, because this is their issue, right?
Right.
This is they're going to do our work for us. We're going to find out in the hearings what he really believes. And we understand he's not going to say, well, I will vote to overturn Roe v. Wade, but his true views are going to come out one way or the other. The left is going to do our work for us. And I hope that when this is over, by the time of the vote, Ed, that he has made it clear that he was speaking just in terms of being appointed to the D.C. Circuit. He wasn't giving his real feelings about Roe v. Wade.
I hope that as well. Mm. All right, Fred, we've had enough Brett Kavanaugh for one day. At least for one show. Let's move on to what else you got.
Well, very interesting. The president, of course, in the wake of the big event last night, is heading to Europe today. He's got a busy schedule. But before leaving this morning, he was questioned before the chopper picked him up there at the White House to head out to the base before he takes off on Air Force One. He was questioned about the fact of the deadline that was put in place yesterday for him to start releasing some of these detained children
right.
who have been kept away. And he basically said that he wasn't going to meet the deadline of yesterday for that. But what he had to say to reporters was typical Donald Trump. How do you resolve all of this? President Donald Trump says he has a solution to the federal government missing a court-imposed deadline to reunite migrant children with their families. Quote, tell people not to come to our country illegally.
That's the solution.
That's the solution. Build a wall and tell people they're not allowed to come into this country illegally. And let's be very clear. That is the crux of the matter in all of this. There are some people, sadly, even inside the evangelical community, who try to mush all of this together under the heading of immigrants. Please, this country is not opposed to immigration. Let's be very clear.
Right.
To people who come to this country legally. They're not opposed to taking refugees in. The problem is people who cross that border illegally. Whether it's people who bring these children in, and some of them are being brought in not even by their parents. But when they'd make that decision to cross the border illegally, if they are parents with their children, they are making the decision for their children to be separated from them.
Right.
All right. That's part of the cost in all of this. But there's another thing that we have to keep people informed of. And that is this. President Trump did not create this policy of separating children from their parents. This was going on during the Barack Obama years.
Right.
It's just that the media didn't make a big deal of it. The Republicans during the Obama years didn't make a big deal of it. They understood this is what happens when people break the law.
Right.
You know, if you have a drug dealer who goes to jail, he is separated from his family.
Right.
That's what happens. And so the president, once again, it comes back to something very basic that he talked about during the election campaign 2 years ago. It's one of the reasons I think Americans voted for Donald Trump to be president, that he was elected, is that he wants to secure that border and put an end to all of this.
Right.
As simple as that. And what he's facing is, I think the Democrats and many of their supporters, they do not want a secure border. You know, the president...
No, they're open borders.
The president has asked for $25 billion. Now, to most of us, that's a whole pile of money. But in terms of a federal government trying to secure its southern border, it's peanuts.
Right.
You know, the government wastes that amount of money probably every 6 months out there. So it's about open borders. It's about a nation. It's about a different view of what the future of this nation should be.
Right.
You know, the Democrats want open border for people coming in. And, you know, has that documentary that came out during election year from Dinesh D'Souza pretty well pointed out. If you want a socialist nation, you bring a whole pile of people in who are going to be dependent on the government.
Right. They come from socialist countries.
Exactly. And so this is what Donald Trump is standing against. He wants a nation of people who are not dependent on the government. He believes in the proper role of government, security of the nation, building roads, et cetera, not for people to be dependent on the government to live. In a related story, this is very interesting. Remember the stats that came out last week on the unemployment stats? I mean, things keep improving every time. And they break them down according to white Americans, black Americans, Hispanic Americans. The Hispanic unemployment rate is at an all-time low in this country. Here's the story that came out yesterday from the media research people. Telemundo and a couple of the other networks never ran that story.
I'm shocked. Oh,
wow.
They never ran that.
Telemundo is a Spanish-speaking. Is that from Mexico or is that in the U.S. directed to the Hispanic community?
There are a couple in the U.S. and they borrow some programming from Mexico. But they refused to run that story. Now, they run political stories about Donald Trump.
You don't think they have an agenda, do you?
Gee whiz.
They're very liberal.
They just accidentally forgot.
Yeah. Well, and very anti-Trump. But you would think that's good news for their audience. That is excellent news.
Well, good news that helps Donald Trump is not good. Is not good news to a lefty. That's to someone who's a progressive leftist/socialist. Any news that helps President Trump is not good news.
It's absolutely,
that's the way they view it.
Yeah. So it's just a reminder, and this is why Brother Don, our founder, created American Family News and One News Now and this talk network.
Right.
Is to give the other side to this, because you simply will not hear the other side to this anywhere else. In fact, Judicial Watch this morning put out a press release. New HHS documents reveal that unaccompanied alien children processed during Obama years included violent criminals, drug smugglers, and human traffickers. They were amongst the ones who were declared detained children. These were people who had committed crimes
right.
in Mexico and other parts of Central America from whence they came. And those are stories that you did not hear. In fact,
that's the first time I've heard it.
Yeah. So there's a whole lot more to the story. And just a reminder once again, and unfortunately, even in the evangelical and conservative Christian community, sometimes they depend on CNN and some of right. these other networks for their news. Be aware, and I'll keep saying this as long as I work here, be aware there's an agenda in the mainstream media right now, folks, and it's not about putting the facts out there.
Right.
It's about a political philosophy.
Well, Ray, I think, to Fred's point, news outlets like CNN are missing a golden opportunity to reassert themselves as a trusted news outlet with the American people when they do show clear bias. If they would simply cover the news, whether it's helpful to President Trump or not helpful, they could regain some trust, but they continue down this same path, I think, to worse and worse outcomes when people are asked their opinion of the media.
Well, for one thing, to go to Fred's point, our friends on the evangelical, well, mid to left, you
right.
know, you should stay tuned to American Family Radio, because you'll yeah. hear stuff here that you will not hear on CNN and you certainly will never hear on MSNBC. I mean, that goes back to what you said, Fred. This is one reason we exist, to give an alternative point of view. It's never been more needed, and we're going to see, now, just circling back around to Brett Kavanaugh, we're going to see the great divide in the media in the weeks and months ahead. Who's going to give a fair report and who's only going to give one side, whether it's the Supreme Court or what's really happening down on the border. It is surprising to me that Telemundo would not, maybe it shouldn't be, but it still is surprising to me they wouldn't have reported this amazing good news about the Hispanic unemployment rate, because that's truly great news.
Yeah,
that's
not fake
news. That's fact.
Right. And if you are in favor of the prosperity of people who are Hispanic, which I would guess Telemundo would be from the same community, let's say, if you really care about how they're doing in this country, you would rejoice at that
right.
news. Like you said, Ray, that is good news. You should be applauding that and thanking President Trump for playing a part in the restoration of a growing economy that includes Hispanic people. You should be applauding.
And the other thing, just about President Trump, I mean, he just says whatever he thinks, right?
Right.
And when he just says, okay, look, you should stop coming to this country illegally, boom. And most Americans go, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Mic drop.
Very right.
Mic drop, right. Yeah. We're done here.
Exactly. And President Trump, he's getting ready for this fall's campaign. You're
yes.
going to see him out. You're going to see the same kind of town hall meetings you saw in 2016. He's going to go directly to the people.
Yep.
He's going to work around all the media, and he will make sure the truth of what he has been able to accomplish in his administration so far gets out there.
All right. Well, thank you, Fred. Appreciate it. Steve Jordahl will replace Fred Jackson here on this program after our five-minute break for news. I want to catch you up on some of the other things that are happening around the country and around the world. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Again, after a short five-minute break for news, we will be back. Please join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.